dealing with the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible is looked upon by different people in different ways. There are those who are anxious to get rid of the Bible, and the little reading they do in respect to the Bible, they read it to find fault. There are a lot of people out there, and the reason a lot of men and women don't like the Bible, it's because of the demand that God's Word make on men and women. That is a fact. People who are not religious, they don't go to church, every time you or I go to church, you make that person jealous. This is why the ungodly men and women are so eager to find fault with the Christian. Everybody who go to church are hypocrites. They would like that to be so. What they don't know is that if everybody who goes to church were hypocrites, it still would not help their situation. You see, and people, sometimes we act dumb. If the millions of men and women, or the hundreds of thousands around the world who go to church, if all of them were hypocrites, it will not help the spiritual and eternal situation of the man who doesn't go at all. And so it is with the Bible. Men and women search for fault, defect, shortcoming in respect to the Bible. We hear things like the Bible contradicts itself. That's not true. I repeat, that's not true. There might be some passages that are vague, and we are not sure if it's speaking in reference to this or that. There are places where the Bible may appear as if it is saying something differently from another passage, but when you check it out, you discover that it is not. So men and women out there want to make the Bible a man-made book. And for this reason, to justify their not submitting their lives and thinking to the claim and the demand of God's Word, you'll hear things like, "The Bible is just another book." You hear things like, "The Bible is like the horse and the cart when usually draw." Once that was the in thing, but now we have outgrown the horse and the cart. We are modern now, we have cars, so the Bible, you must put the Bible one side. It's an old book. That's some people's attitude towards the Bible. You hear others telling us that it was written by man. So we hear all type of things, and you will continue to hear these things. The Bible does not only claim to be inspired of God. The Bible makes that claim. But it does not only make that claim. In fact, let me back up. Sometime, because I have addressed the subject of inspiration in the past in detail, we have had discussion on the meaning of inspiration and what it does mean. Inspiration means God breathed in. Inspiration and revelation are two different things. Inspiration addresses the superintendency of the Almighty God through the Holy Spirit in guiding the men who wrote the Bible, in guiding them to select the right appropriate material for them to write, and in guiding them to write it without making any mistake. That is inspiration. God inspired them. Revelation is the act by which the Almighty God revealed to his various servants of the past, prophets and apostles and kings and whatever, revealed to them truth that they didn't know, but truth which God wants them to know and in many cases wants us to know. So God revealed those truths. Moses was not at the creation when the Almighty God created the world. How did Moses know about what was created the first day? Because Moses is the writer of the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth book of the Bible. How did Moses know about the revelation? When Moses wrote, probably 1,000 or more years after, 2,000 years, 3,000 years after creation, how did Moses know? God revealed the facts to him. But watch here now. All inspiration is not revelation. That a writer is inspired to write something doesn't necessarily mean that that thing was revealed to the person. Paul, in instructing the church at Corinth and by extension us, in respect to the detail of the Lord's Supper, how it must be taken and what it signifies, Paul wasn't there when Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. So how did he know about it? God inspired him. Well, rather, revealed it to him. So here you have two things here. Jesus Christ both revealed the information to him, and Jesus Christ inspired him to write it. But now look on the other side of it. While Jesus Christ inspired Matthew to write about the communion, Jesus Christ did not reveal that to Matthew. Why? Because Matthew was there when it was instituted. He was a part of that. So he was inspired to write it. But there was no need for it to be revealed to him because he had that knowledge already.
And that's what I meant when I said that all inspiration is not, all revelation is not inspiration.
The Bible, I get back to the point, I just, you know, and if question comes up from this lesson, write it down so that next week, Sunday night. Now, I'm not even promising that successively I will be on the subject every Sunday night. But what I'm promising over the next few weeks or months, you're going to be hearing some 3, 4, or 5 lessons on the inspiration and the revelation of God's Word. And these lessons are meant to reinforce, to give you reason to trust the Bible more and to enable you to defend the Bible. The Bible does not, as I've said, only claim to be inspired of God. And claim to be God's revelation. But the Bible has within its pages, are we all there? Marks of inspiration. That's what we'll be looking at. That while the Bible, and we'll be looking at a few of those passages tonight, those claim that God's book makes, that it is from God, it is inspired. In fact, another thing that I should throw out here, and as I progress in the lesson and over when I deal with whatever, sometimes it's then that some of the things come to the mind. And that is that the Bible is inspired of God. It does not necessarily mean, let me pick up on that point as we go on, and let me continue the point on which I was. While the Bible claims to be the inspired word of God, the Bible has within it, within its pages, evidence or marks of inspiration. That is, not only does the Bible claim, and those are the passages I made a statement just now that we'll be looking at. The Bible makes claim that it is in fact the inspired word of God. But apart and separate from its claim, within its pages, there are evidences, there are marks of inspiration. In the Old Testament, there are some 3,800 places that the Bible states either directly or indirectly that it is inspired. What did I say? I said over 3,800 times or places where this claim, the claim of inspiration, is made. Now, that's a lot. Now, this is just in the Old Testament. Just in the Old Testament, where the claim of inspiration is made. We hear this claim by such term as the Lord said, which means what is spoken is from God. Such phrase as God spake, say. That means that saying is from God, meaning it is inspired. Terms such as thus saith the Lord. Terms such as the word of God came to. All these are phrases, are sentences, are terms which indirectly telling us what is said comes from God. It is inspired. It's not of man. In addition to the 3,800 times in the Old Testament alone that the claim of inspiration is made, in the New Testament we have thousands of places where the Bible indicates that it is inspired of God. That is in the New Testament. Remember, the 3,800 plus is in reference to where inspiration is claimed in the Old Testament. But in addition to those claims of the Bible in the Old Testament, we have the New Testament with so many places showing that it is inspired. We have passages like, let me just list some of a few of the New Testament passages. We may read a few of them. Passage such as 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 through 16, Matthew chapter 10, 19 through 20, John 14, 26, and John 16, 13. These are but a few of the New Testament passages which are telling us that the Bible is inspired. Now, may I get this? And this is the point I attempted to make just now. That the Bible is God's book. That the Bible is God's revelation. That the Bible is inspired does not mean that every word in the Bible is from God's mouth. So when you find your critics out there, person tell you this and that about the Bible, make sure that the person have things in proper perspective. There are words from Satan in the Bible. There are words from men and women who didn't believe in God in the Bible. There are some evil things said about God in the Bible. Wait. Those evil things were placed there by inspiration. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? God wanted them to be put in the Bible.
Even when they were said by Satan, even when they were said against God, against Christ. But they do not represent the thought, the words, and the ways of God. So when we say the Bible is inspired, it means whatever is in the Bible, God wants it to be there. But it does not mean that all that are in the Bible comes from the mind of God. The Almighty God wants to make sure that the representation given in the Bible of what the king of Egypt said, of what a Philistine Lord said, the Almighty God wants to make sure that that person was accurately represented. That the person's word was not taken out of context, or you take something off it or add something to it. That is inspiration. God makes sure of that. But there are a lot of things in the Bible, things that are said against God, against God's people, against the apostle, against Christ. Well, why are they in the Bible? Because of the nature of the just God with whom we are dealing. Can people cuss off God? Yes, God wanted to be put there. But they do not represent the thought of God. Are we there? The Bible contains... Well, so let us look at a few of these passages. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. Claim of inspiration by the Bible. Let us hear it.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Wait. All scripture is given by the inbreathing of God. That is, what the inspired men wrote, it is God directed them to write it. And the elimination, the Almighty God was the one who helped them to choose. You know, have you ever read the last book there in St. John, the last chapter, where if all the things that Jesus did were written, the world could not contain the book. But watch here now. But these are written that you may believe. You get it? That selection in respect to how do I know out of all the works and miracles and mighty deeds of Jesus Christ, how did the apostle know what to write and what to put one side? The Holy Spirit comes in the picture there. The Almighty God helped them to select what was to be in the Bible. It was not left up to the apostle's whims and fancy. So, all scripture given by the inspiration of God. Are we all there? Read.
And is profitable for doctrine.
Okay. The scripture, when you hear some church talk about them not interested in doctrine, them and God are going in different directions. Because God has great interest in doctrine. Always. All scripture given by the inspiration of God is profitable for
doctrine.
Doctrine, that is teaching, and that is teaching the correct thing.
For reproof.
For reproof.
For correction.
For correction.
For instruction.
For instruction in
righteousness.
Righteousness, with this as its ultimate goal and objective.
That the man of God.
That the ultimate goal and objective of the doctrine, the correction, the instruction in righteousness, is to help the man of God. What?
Be perfect.
Be perfect.
Thoroughly furnished.
Thoroughly furnished.
Unto all good works.
May I? Every time you or I miss service, we miss out on something that probably God wants us to hear. Because the church is the feeding place. That's right. And when teaching is going on in the church, Sunday morning, Sunday school, worship service, Wednesday night, if you understand the preciousness of God's word, you would make and put out more effort to be in every worship. Because the Bible is here discussing, the passage the brother is discussing doctrine, and it tells you that the reason God wants proper teaching, correct teaching, to take place in the church is to make the man, watch here, it doesn't just mean male. It includes men and women. To make the servants of God, what?
Perfect.
Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What this passage is telling us, without proper teaching, we cannot be what we are to be in God's sight. And we need to get that. But first, remember, this passage is telling us that all Scripture is inspired of God. And then it went on to tell us what it is profitable for. Let us hear 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13.
For this cause,
also, for this cause,
thank we God without ceasing.
We thank God without ceasing.
Because when you receive the word of God,
because you, Thessalonians, when you receive the word of God, that is the writing from us, Jesus' apostles,
which he heard of us,
which you heard of us,
ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God.
We must learn to distinguish the chaff from the wheat. Truly. We must learn to distinguish the boys from the men. Truly. You know, he's giving thanks here. And the main issue here is the reverence, the respect, the value that the Thessalonian place on the word of God. They were not confused. They did not mix up the word of God with the word of men. That is the problem why there are so many churches today. You cannot find a man-made church where part of their teaching did not originate from man. And you know what? Members of this church hold the tradition handed down from man and the word of God in the speaking skill. The Roman Catholic, the Anglican, the Methodist, they see sprinkling. This is sprinkling and equate it with burial in water. In other words, you are sprinkled, I am sprinkled and you are, it don't make any difference. They are taught that. Their church denomination believes that. Brothers and sisters, there's no comparison between baptism commanded by the gospel and sprinkling that was invented by man. When you or I, any church, any pope, any angel, want to equate them and tell you it doesn't make any difference. They are light distance away. They are millions of miles away from God. Because you cannot compare what man invent as religious teaching with what God has commanded. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. And I could probably spend the next week just listing some things that comes from man. When Mrs. Ellen G. White said she got a vision just about 200 years ago, less or more. That is some 1,600-800 years after the Bible was written. So she got a vision that the Sabbath should be kept. And when men and women today place that, and men and women accept that, then what Paul has just said here, because that is directly from man. Somebody said, but Brother Mitchell, didn't God command the Sabbath? Yes, but not to any Christian. Not to any Christian. Not to any Christian. The Sabbath was given the Israelites to remind them of their emancipation from slavery in Egypt. And God made that plain. We had down there in the beginning. So when somebody came, some 1,800 years after Christianity, and imposed that, and you find people accepting it, then the passage just read from Thessalonians becomes even more weighty. When you receive God's word, you did not treat it like man's word, but you treat it like God's word for what it really is. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 through 21.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Peter said this is priority. When he said knowing this first, you must keep this in the upper part of your mind. That the scripture is not the invention of man's imagination. Read on.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man.
You get the point. It's not just that men feel to think of something and imagine something and invent some religious teaching. No, not the prophecy that are found in the Bible. Read up.
But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
As they were inspired. The move here means as they were carried along, as they were directed by the Holy Ghost.
That's the end of 20.
Okay. There are other passages but we won't read those, such as 2 Peter chapter 3, 15, 16. Matthew chapter 10, 19, 20, John 14, 26, John 16,
13, especially in John, is the passage where Jesus Christ promised that the Holy Spirit would bring all truth to their memory. So they were not left off to invent their own teaching. So now, I ask for another 10 minutes or less, where we deal with one of the first marks of inspiration. And tonight we discuss only one. Over the next few weeks or months, depending on how consistently I revisit the subject. Among the marks of inspiration found in the scripture is one, the unity of the Bible. Very important. And we'll discuss only that tonight over the next 8-10 minutes. What we are dealing with is internal marks of inspiration. Marks found within the pages of the Bible, indicating that the Bible could never be the imagination of man, that the Bible came about because of man's ingenuity and smartness. No, the Bible is above our smartness. And that is shown first in the unity of the Bible. Notice this. The Bible contains 66 books. Are we all there? Written by about 40 different men, and was written over a period of 1,600 years. That is the first book of the Bible was written about 1,400 B.C. And that is the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It was written about this date. The last book of the Bible was written about 100 A.D. That's some 15 to 1600 years. So I repeat, the Bible was written by the 66 books written by about 40 different men over a period of 1600 years. But these 66 books, covering a period of 1600 years, written by 40 different men who, watch here, For the most part did not even know each other. Now, this is striking because of the point I'm coming up to now. Forty different men, spanning 1600 years, writing 66 separate books that makes up one book. They did not, as I said, for the most part, know each other. They never met for the most part. Yet, 66 books form an harmonious whole as one book. That is a miracle. It's not like you find 10 men writing about the same thing, and they live about the same time. They may not live in the same country, but they live about the same time, and they did some communication. No. Most of the men who wrote the Bible did not know each other. Mark, some of them knew each other. But most of them, of the 40 writers, they did not know each other. And it spanned 1600 years. They were dead strangers, most of them. Yet, what they wrote, 66 books. When you read these 66 books, there is harmony. When you read these 66 books, it's like all the writer knew each other and are writing about the same thing. And therefore, the Bible is 66 books, but it is one book. We are not finished. These inspired writers, not only did they not know each other, but notice this, for the most part, but they were from different cultural backgrounds. It's not that they all were brought up in the same culture. That's right. They were from different cultural backgrounds. Watch here. They wrote in different languages. Some wrote in Hebrew. Some wrote in Amharic. Some wrote in Greek. Yes. Both Old and New Testament encompass some three different languages. Yet, their message is one message, as if the Bible was written by one person. That's what we're talking about, the unity of the Bible. And I may just throw this out, because I don't want to take time. There is no real contradiction in the Bible. The extraordinary unity and harmony of the Bible would be impossible without a supervisor or a superintendent supervising the writings and the writer who wrote the Bible. I'm going to close with that statement, so let me repeat it. The harmony and the unity we find in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation,
that harmony, that oneness would have been impossible had there not been somebody supervising or superintending to what is written and to who wrote it. That superintendent, that supervisor was God or the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible have that unity throughout the Bible. 66 books. Remember, the main subject of the entire 66 book is Jesus Christ. That's right. Jesus Christ is the main subject, starting from Genesis. And all the prophets, their awesome work was telling of the Savior that would be coming to redeem man. So in this unity of the Scripture, we see evidence of inspiration only.
May I?
I'm closing. Challenge any critics, any agnostic, any atheist out there to find any other books or any other subject. The Bible deals with religious spiritual subject. There is unity. Find any scholars in our modern world writing on a subject where they have never met and they live probably 200 years apart. Don't make it 1600 years. Make it just 200 years apart. And find out if you can find even five of them that write on subject that there is perfect unity. You're not going to find that. And not on a subject like religious subject. God was in the picture, overseeing and supervising not only the writer, but what was written. That's why we find the unity that we find in Scripture. That is one of the reasons, one of the evidence, one of the proof, internal proof of Scripture, that the Scripture is inspired of God. There is no way that man, as smart as we think we are, could produce anything like the Bible that we have, containing 66 books, yet it comes across as if it is one book. That's the work of God. Thank God for the Bible.